Speak Jesus 2022 happened at Kruger's Dorp. I don't know if someone tried to count how many people there were, but you start looking left, and it took you a while to get to the end on the other side.
It really did.
Uncle Angus, this is now afterwards. We're looking back at this event now. I want to ask you, looking over a crowd like that, when people are actually thinking that Christianity, the church, is going down, that we're losing our steam, that we're not effective.
Right.
When you look at people who are sitting in burning sun.
That's it.
With the wind blowing in the dust, is uncomfortable with their kids.
Yeah, yeah.
And they bought out the whole Saturday to be here. What goes on in your heart when you see this and recognize these are real Christians who want to make a difference in South Africa?
No, it's absolutely amazing, Janine. You know, I always say that the South African crowd is my favorite crowd, because I don't think there's another crowd in the world. I mean, some of those people had been there since 7 o'clock in the morning.
Exactly.
I only got onto the stage at 1 o'clock. And I preached for about an hour and a half today. And I prayed for the sick and for deliverance and salvation, obviously. For another, I think we were maybe 2 hours by the time we were finished with everything. And then the music as well. And I am blown away. And you know, today, particularly today, what impacted me more than even the size of the crowd was the attention that they paid.
Yes.
They weren't moving. You know, I know crowds. I can read a crowd. Like you play an orchestra, I can read a crowd. And I know a crowd that's restless. But you see, we've got 3,000 intercessors that have been praying around the clock, because they're all over the world, for months for this event. And when I walked in there, it was like electric. It was incredible. In fact, I felt like I was a spectator. And the crowd carried me. And I didn't have to work, as it were, and, like pulling teeth, you know, grinding. No, it was incredible. It was almost like they were hungry. No one moved. And that, right to the end, to the very end, there was nobody peeling off. And that really, for me, was incredible.
Because, as a matter of fact, it seems they didn't want to go when you wanted to go.
Yeah, exactly. They weren't ready to go. I think I would have stayed a bit longer, eh? Yeah. What do you think? So, yeah, that's a great... For me, that's probably the biggest encouragement or compliment I could ask for. You know, it must be so hard. It's never happened to me, by the grace of God, when a preacher's preaching and the people are just leaving.
Yeah.
That must be devastating. And that's never happened to me, and I trust it never will. But you've got to get to the point, and you've got to speak about relative things. And that's what we were doing. We're speaking about the country, the nation. We had a lot of political leaders there today. A lot. Sitting in the VIP, and I'm not going to go down that road, but they were there, and they didn't leave either. So, and the other thing that really impacted me today was the amount of young people. Yo, lots of students, eh?
Did you see them worshiping?
Yes.
Did you see the sincerity?
Oh,
it was,
man,
so beautiful.
Makes you cry, eh?
Yeah.
They just had their hands raised. Did you see that? It was amazing. It was incredible. And people just feeling free to dance before the Lord, and some didn't want to, and that's okay. That's no problem. But the way they prayed the sinner's prayer, you know, made public confession of their faith. There wasn't a person sitting down.
Mm. Yeah. What was your agenda? Because you were very specific in what you did today. And I know we prayed beforehand that it would be something, what happens today would be inspired by God truly.
Yes.
So did you come here with knowing this is what I want to achieve?
Yeah, I did. Today I did. I came here and the Lord said to me, in fact, my wife talks to me a lot, Jill, and she couldn't make it. There was a bit of a mix-up with the transport in it. The devil doesn't stop, eh? All these little foxes. She just said to me, Angus, be gentle with the people. People are hurting. And for me to be gentle is to be, I am who I am. I've tried, you know, to speak softly, and I can't do it. But it's always in love, eh? It's always in love, and it's always preaching up to people. I don't preach down to people, because I know who I am, by the grace of God. So I came with an agenda, and the agenda was very simply this, that all people, all of us, including you, Janine, are sinners, saved by grace. Okay? So nobody is without sin. Nobody has never made a mistake. And that was my agenda. So grace is undeserved loving kindness, unmerited favor. We know that. And today, I used Paul as my example, Saul of Tarsus, because he, you know, we spoke about friendly fire, remember? When you shoot your own people by mistake. And that's what Paul was doing. And that's what we do. And then I remember I went to the home and I said, you're sitting there drinking and you're destroying your family. Then I got emotional because, you know, I'm talking about things I know about. Or you're drugging or whatever, you know, and you think you're just doing it for yourself, but you're destroying your family. So my theme was, we are all sinners, okay? But by the grace of God, we've got to make a change. And I believe I gave them an opportunity, Janine, to make a change. Because a lot of churches, unfortunately, I don't hear about an altar call anymore. It's almost like it's old-fashioned, an altar call.
Mm.
Now, I couldn't call them forward. There was no place to come. And I didn't want them too far away. I said to them, I want the first row close. I like to speak to you. I like to look in your eyes. I don't speak to the clouds, you know, or the ceiling or anything. I like to speak to people. You could see I was standing on top of the loudspeakers.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I was about to walk on the air there. That would have been fantastic, eh?
It would.
And then walk
we'll
back.
Record it for you.
Could happen. Walk straight back and not even know it. I wonder why everybody's so quiet. Yeah, anyway, so yeah, that was the theme. The theme was that we've been saved by grace. Remember Ephesians 2:8? Through faith, and that not of ourselves, but it was a gift from God. So in other words, it's no doing of ourselves. Jesus saved us. Jesus did it all. We don't have to earn our way to heaven. That's very important. Mm. Remember, good people don't go to heaven. Believers go to heaven. That's my favorite statement.
It is.
Yeah.
Can I just... In church circles, when you say, Jill told me to be gentle.
Yeah.
We see gentleness and being loving as not taking the sin on head on.
Right.
And... in doing so, people are going to hell and people are losing their and paying the wages of sin because we as a church pussyfoot around people and coddle them and everything.
Yeah.
But you were very straightforward today. It's loving people to be honest about the problem, isn't it?
If you love somebody, you must tell them the truth. Mm. That's what you do. You can't tell a person, God bless you, keep well, and he's on his way to hell. That's not love. There's a thing called tough love, okay? And I've walked the road myself. You know, we had a children's home. I've also dealt with a lot of people that had drug habits and alcohol habits. So you got to be firm. You got to draw a line in the sand and say, this far, no further. Okay? It's not a case of now, well, just keep trying. You got to, and they've got to respect you. That's another thing, by the way, I want to say, that the people need to respect you. And Janine, they don't have to like you, but they must respect you. And I like to think that not everybody likes me. That's a fact. So when you say to somebody that you're Uncle Angus's friend, just make sure first that they like me. So ask them first whether you like Angus. No, I can't stand him. Then just keep quiet.
It's going to count against you.
So tough love is to be gentle and to be kind and to be helpful, you know.
And then you had them stand up and say, so are you now a Christian or aren't you? Right. Are you willing to do a public confession of that truth? It makes a difference if people around you know that you're a Christian.
Exactly, especially if you're a pastor. And that's what God has laid on my heart about. You see, if you look at James chapter 5 verse 16, and you know I've talked about this on the radio, it says that confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Now I'm not talking about any other denomination. It's the Bible says it. So, when those people confess their faith publicly to everybody, okay, then God sets you free. Remember, I did say to them, if you're too ashamed to stand up today in public, Jesus says, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will be ashamed of you before my Father. And I don't want anybody's blood on my hands. Remember, I used Ezekiel chapter 3, 17 to 19, Son of Man, I've made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the words of my mouth and... give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked man, thou shalt surely perish, and you don't give him warning to turn from his wicked ways, that man will die in his sin, but his blood
is on you.
Shall be required at your hand. But if you warn the wicked man, that is my calling. If you warn the wicked man and he heareth not, okay? If you warn the wicked man to turn from his wicked ways, okay, and he heareth not, he will be lost, but thou hast redeemed thy soul. So you and I have an obligation. You have an obligation. And that is to tell people that all roads do not lead to heaven. See, John 14:6. I mean, if I preach like that in Iran, I wouldn't have even got off the stage. They'd kill me.
Yeah.
And that's today. Or Saudi Arabia or any of those places. They'd kill you straight. You heard, there's a guy sitting in there. He comes from Yorkshire. He told me this morning. He told Tommy. He says, if he speaks about Jesus, I'd take him away.
Yeah.
But if he speaks about any other God, no problem. That's a country that sent missionaries, probably more than anybody else, from Britain. I mean, talk about giants like David Livingstone, Andrew Murray, you know, James Hudson Taylor, William Carey. These are giants. They came from England. William Booth. Huh? I mean, he started the Salvation Army. These are men that they'd be devastated.
Yeah.
And I purposely, another thing, I'm just offering this to you, and this is quite important. No compromise. I don't think you'll ever call me a compromiser. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit over the top, but not a compromiser. I purposely kept away from certain things. For example, this whole gender thing.
Mm.
I tell them what the Bible says, and you must make up your own mind. But I'm not going to make that. That wasn't the mission. I'm an evangelist. I want people to come back to Jesus. There was a lot of weeping today.
Yeah.
A lot of brokenness. And there were some tough guys there. And some of them, I think, came under the influence. But by the end of the meeting, they weren't staggering around. They were cold sober. And there might be the next Billy Graham. Some of these guys with their heads shaved and ramming tattoos from here to here. So what, man?
Who cares? If your heart gets broken.
That's it. Well done. Broken. Thank you for what broken. You just said. So you got to have... I'm an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. We aim for the heart. We always go for the heart shot. Remember we told you that? Not the head shot. The heart. When you shoot a buffalo, you shoot him in the heart. Shoot him in the head, you can't kill him. So as an evangelist, I aim for the heart. And that's what happened today, I believe. It was a heart shot. There's nobody can leave that meeting, Rochelle, and say they don't know what it means to be born again today. Correct?
They heard the truth. The other thing that we talk about a lot on air is the fact that 33,000 sermons are being preached every weekend in South Africa.
Okay.
So why do our lives look the way they look if we were actually doing what we were hearing? And you've had instances with 300,000 men together, but they go home.
Yeah,
and then
now
the word, the truth that had been birthed today, and I truly believe today you did effective kingdom.
Oh, thank you.
What needed to happen is a practical, meaningful thing that happened. Mm. But now they're going home.
Yeah.
And you must have a heart for
this time going forward.
You must be praying and worrying because these are your children that go out there.
Exactly.
And now they've got to live life.
Why did I say to them, you must go and tell the first three people that you meet tomorrow morning what you did today? That is what cements your faith. I had to do that when I gave my life to the Lord. I got severely criticized. Not severely, but criticized. You're acting the devil's advocate today. You're doing a great job, Janine, like you normally do. But it's true, and I like it. After Mighty Men 2010, we had 450,000 men there. Got witnesses there. I mean, that's huge, eh? Men. And so some character said, but after 3 weeks, they're back to where they were. And so what the hang is the point? Well, you know, what's Buchan doing? But Buchan is an evangelist. Buchan is not a pastor.
Mm.
I can't do the fivefold ministry myself. So we lead the man to Christ. He makes a commitment. He goes back home. His pastor must wake up, man, and get in there and follow him up. Go and visit him in his home. And they're not doing it. And then they blame us. You get them all
riled up.
Yeah. Mm. And then they cry and they break down. They go home. They get on their knees. They ask their wives for forgiveness. And their daughters write me letters. It makes me cry. A little 10-year-old, thank you for giving me a new daddy. Huh? And then it just blew in. But I'm believing, I have to. I can't do anything else. I have to keep telling people about Jesus. The same reason why you get up every morning at about 3:30 to get to the studio. You do the same. Well, we're not there for response. We're there for duty. Nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice until the world has heard it once. There were people here today, I choose to believe, Rochelle, that have never been to church before. Oh, yes. I could see by their manners. Those are the people, by the way, I love to preach
to.
Yes. Because you can see they're kind of like, wow, and they crying and they laughing and they're embarrassed and all that. Those are the people I love. Because I was like it. I was one of them. I was in the pub on Saturday night and I was at the altar rail on Sunday morning. My life was transformed. I had a Damascus Road experience. Well, look at Paul. Isn't he our best example? I mean, they must have said, what chance is there with that guy? I mean, he's hunting us down. Huh?
So now they've gone home.
Yes.
You've had a chance to speak to them. You're on the stage. They were sitting in front of you.
Yeah.
They've gone home. Now they're listening to this interview. And you can leave them with one last word to tell them, what do I do now?
Okay.
Here's my heart. I've given it to the Lord practically.
Okay.
What do I need to put in place now for this to go forward?
Great. Okay, that's it. So they go home, and the first thing they've got to do, they've really got to get serious, and they are serious for God. So, quiet time. They've got to get up in the morning. They've got to start reading their Bible systematically. They've got to pray, okay? They've got to read a devotional, okay? And then they have got to find a church. There's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God, okay? No man's an island. They've got to find a church and get involved in the church. And then if they're not happy with the church they go to, they must find another one.
Mm.
So if the church, and this is going to stir a lot of problems, but I want to say it, and I want to say it on air. If they go to a church, they are not receiving spiritual food.
Truth.
Which is truth.
Mm.
Okay, the truth shall set you free. John 17:17. Then they must go and find spiritual food. It's their responsibility. And it's not a case of, well, my mom and dad went to that church and my grandfather and my granny. It's got nothing to do with that. It's between, God's got no grandchildren, by the way.
Amen.
So you've got to go and find a church and get involved.
As simple as that.
Simple as that.
Thank you. It was a great day.
Thank you, Janine.
Have you seen my feet? Look at my feet. Look at that.
Lovely.
Yeah. That's
like a Buddha machine.
Yeah. So we just want to say it was worth it.
Oh,
it was worth the sun.
You.
It was worth the wind. It was worth whatever it took to see the people's faces,
yeah,
to recognize sincere turning, to see lights going on in people's eyes.
I love people.
It makes everything worth it.
Yeah,
thank you very
I'm
much.
I'm 75 now. I don't feel 75. So I think there's not a lot of guys there that are older than me. There was a few, but not that many. And I look at them, as you've been referring all the time, I look at them as my children. I really do. And if your children come to you, these are my grandchildren you see around here. I've got 11. There's two there. There's another. I don't know where the other one is. There's three. There's another two. There's five. I've got five of my grandchildren here.
Here.
You want to hear these boys pray? Why? Because their parents pray. See, so it's by example. And that's how it is. It's just by example. They love praying. They've been praying for me all day. And it makes me cry when I see those little guys there. Mm.